This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB. This is the Outlaws Extra on the FCB Radio Network.
Welcome to the Outlaws Extra. This is Darvio the Kingpin Morrow. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheOutlawsRadio. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Outlaws Radio. And for those of you who are not familiar, The Outlaws Extra is an extra, no pun intended, episode of the show that we do, where we go more in depth on topics or discussions or other things that we may not have been able to get to on a regular episode, but we still think is important for our listeners to hear. And on this edition of the Outlaws Extra, we are actually doing an interview with Cleveland Councilman Mike Polinsik. He comes from those of you who are not familiar, Councilman Polinsik comes from the Collinwood neighborhood, which is where I'm originally from, where I spent most of my life. I went to school in Collinwood, grew up in Collinwood. That is the neighborhood that I come from. And Councilman Polinsik was under a bit of controversy this week with people accusing him of being racist. Now, you can probably kind of tell my skepticism in that, because I've known Councilman Polinsik for so long and my family has known him and so on and so forth as well. So right now, we are going to spend some time talking about what's been going on in his race, and you're going to hear from Councilman Mike Polinsik himself, and he's going to address these charges, if you will, of racism. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to air Councilman Polinsik's interview in its entirety. You're listening to the Outlaws Extra.
Yo, what's up? Bring the noise right here. Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. You are tuned in the Outlaws Radio Show.
Yeah, this is Chris Gotti, and you're listening to the number one radio show, The Outlaws. You heard me? Adventure Music supports Chris Gotti. Go check him out.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, comedian actress Coco Brown, and you're listening to The Outlaws Radio Show.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, SNMJT, and I'm with Outlaws.
Welcome back to the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Outlaws Extra. Let's get into our interview with Cleveland Councilman Mike Polinsik. All right, we have a very special guest on the show today. He is a Cleveland City Councilman in the side of town, the neck of woods that I come from. Councilman Mike Polinsik, welcome to the show. How you doing, sir?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm good. So let me just give people some background real quick. I have known Councilman Polinsik for a very long time. My family knows Councilman Polinsik as well. I have long ties in the Collinwood community. I grew up there. I went to school there. I spent most of my life up until very recently in Collinwood. So I know the ins and outs about the dynamics of the Collinwood community. And I saw something that was very interesting to me, that there were people on social media and in some reports calling Councilman Mike Polinsik a racist, which I have known Councilman Polinsik for quite some time. Racist is not a word I would ever associate with to describe him. So talk about what in the world is going on in your race, Councilman?
Well, what I have, and I certainly appreciate you calling me. I have an opponent who doesn't live in my ward. And so since February of this year, she has been trying to duck and hide where she really lives. In her literature, using a P.O. box to make it look like her address. And so what I waited very patiently when she was out going door to door, and her people, these people that she has coming over in the Collinwood from Ohio City and Tremont and Detroit Shoreway campaigning for her, because she's being supported by a West Side Political Action Committee. I waited very patiently until she put it in writing, where she saying that she lives in Cleveland's Ward 8, which she doesn't. And then that's when I struck. I struck back with a comparison piece that went to the registered voters in the neighborhood, showing where she really lives with her address and my address, showing where I really live, showing her voting record, showing the things that she hasn't done. She's trying to portray herself as some great leader in the community activist, which she isn't at all. And so they flipped out. The people who are supporting her flipped out. She flipped out. And now because of it, I put her at risk because I put her address. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't the citizens have a right to know where you live? People know where I live. Don't people have a right to know your voting record and how you're registered and the fact that she just became a Democrat on August 3rd of this year? I mean, her voting record is pitiful. Her engagement is pitiful. But see, what it comes down to, and we're all used to this, those of us who have been involved in this, in politics and community activism for a long time, when you have nothing else to run on, then you want to use the race card. You want to use you're a racist or you're anti-Semitic or you're anti-gay or you're anti-this or, you know, so, you know, the only thing they didn't say is that I don't like spinach, okay? So the fact of the matter is it rolls off me like water off a duck's ass, okay? Because I was born in Glenville, raised in Collinwood, as most people know in that neighborhood. I'll put my voting record, my attendance record, and my legislative record against anyone who's ever served in city council. I think the only other person who could ever have said that or come close to saying that was my dear late friend Fannie Lewis, because I'm a street councilman. I believe I'm an activist. I'm a public servant. And so, you know, I laugh when I hear it because, first of all, I'm a longtime member of the NAACP, and I'm looking at I'm sitting here at City Hall looking at this big crystal award sitting on the shelf in my office from the NAACP when I received Distinguished Citizen Award for my activism and the role I took against hate groups and the Klan. And I walked. I'll never forget the day I walked with Fannie Lewis hand in hand, holding hands with her and George Forbes against the Klan when they came to town. So I could go down on my record that I co-sponsored with Jeff Johnson at the time, my dear friend, the first City of Cleveland's Fair Housing Law. I could go down, but you know what? It don't mean anything because the people who want to throw stuff at you, that's all they have. They can't run on any record. They can't run on any campaign because they haven't done anything. So they can't criticize my voting record, my attendance record, or anything. So they want to use the race card. But in the Black community, people are wise to it by now. And especially from these extreme, this liberal bunch that comes out of the West Side. I mean, we're all used to it. They're all phonies. They're phony balonies. They won't live in our neighborhoods. They won't live in our communities. But they want to run candidates. So what we see is a group running a slate of candidates in the wards, in some of the East Side wards, where they somehow think they can control the city. Well, they're not going to control the Glenville community. They're not going to control Collinwood or the central neighborhood or Huff. They're not going to control us. And so, you know, come on, bring it on. Bring it on. I mean, I'm not, as everyone knows, and as you know, and as your family knows, I'm not a shrinking violet. Okay, you want to get down. I'm prepared to get down. So you know, at the end of the day, your record speaks for itself. And when you try to hide where you live, my opponent don't live in Cleveland's Ward 8, and she tried to hide it in the worst way possible. But when she put it in writing that she lived there. Whoa, 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 whoa. She opened the door and she served me up a softball, and I like hitting softballs. Okay. So I hit that softball and they don't like it. They're panicked now because they got to try to figure out how to spin this now. And so they spin it along racial lines that she's a Black woman and now she feels endangered because her address. Oh man, my address is on everything. I mean, you look at anything I put out, my address on it. Don't the citizens have a right to know where we live? Don't they have a right to know what our voting record is? Don't they have a right to know what our participation is? So, and what did I cite when I put all the stuff in this comparison piece that was mailed out? I cited the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections, the Ohio Ethics Commission. I mean, this is not stuff we made up. This was stuff that was documented. Mm-hmm. So the fact of the matter is, she got caught. She walked into it. And now at the end of the day, now it's the race card. But you know what? I quite thought she'd play it before now. It's 10 days away from an election. But nonetheless, I'm prepared to deal with it. I'm prepared to run forward, and I'm prepared to run on my record. And what my chairman said to me, my longtime chairman, Deacon Greg Pollard from Everlasting Baptist Church, who has been my, I'm trying to think how long he's been my campaign chairman. He said, as he said to me this week when they threw this stuff out at me, he said, Mike, anyone who knows you knows where you stand on all the issues. They know you stood with the black community repeatedly. Why has Black on Black Crime endorsed you? Why has State Representative Terrence Upchurch endorsed you? Why has Cheryl Stevens endorsed you? I could go all the way down the list of the black public officials and black organizations that have endorsed my candidacy. So he said, you know what? Those of us who are involved in the neighborhood and know you, you know, we all know where we're at, and we know who the phonies are. We know who the charlatans are. So that's where I'm at. So, you know, as I talk to you today, I'm hoping on November 2nd that the folks come out again that voted for me on September 14th, and where I received 77% of the vote, the highest percentage in numbers of any councilman in the city, in a three-way race, I pulled 77% of the vote. So that should tell you something. And in that vote in the precinct, where did I do the best? In the overwhelmingly African-American precincts. Mm-hmm. That's where I did the best. So that, I think the proof is in the pudding. So I'm of the opinion there's an element in our city today. I don't even know what you describe them at. They want conflict. They want division. But they won't involve themselves in our neighborhoods. They won't participate in our neighbors. Fanny, my dear late friend again, Fanny, had a great description of these folks. She called them the dandelion candidates. And I said, one day I was sitting in her house over on Star Avenue in the Huff neighborhood. She said, I said, Fanny, what do you mean by this? She said, Mike, these are the people that come out late winter and early spring, but never do nothing. They've never done nothing. And then they disappear. And that, I think that was the great, Aunt Fanny grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. She had all these great lines and these descriptions of folks. And she had ran ahead. Dandelion candidates. They don't do nothing except show up when it's election time. And then you don't see them. So, you know, that's the reality. I'm prepared to deal with it as I have dealt with it. But my record speaks for itself. What else can I say? My campaign committee is some of the best and greatest black activists in the Collinwood community. I can't say enough about their help and their contribution. And Greg Pollard, again, my longtime campaign chairman, he's a real black leader in the Collinwood community. Those are the people who've stood with me over these years. They know where I'm at. So these wine and cheese, whatever you want to call them, or wherever they're from. Some people call them the wine and cheese liberals. I don't know what the hell you call them, quite frankly. But the fact of the matter is, they think they're smarter than anyone else. They think they're better looking than anybody else and better educated than everybody else. But at the end of the day, they lack street sense, street smarts, and they lack participation in our neighborhoods. And it shows it, and it speaks volumes of where they haven't been. And so I always tell people this: if you really care about the black community, show it, get involved in it, participate. And then you see who really rises to the top, who cares about our residents and our citizens. And my record in public office demonstrates that I have given of my time. I'm proud, extremely humbled, and respectful of this report that I've received. No councilman in the city's history has ever had the kind of support that I've had. And that's all I can say. I'm at that point in my life. I've served longer than anyone in public office in the city's history in the council seat. I have less years ahead of me, both physically and politically, than I have behind me. So when the day comes that I'm not here, all I can say to you and all your listeners is that I've tried my very best. I've tried to represent my folks to the best of my ability. As I told them when I first got elected, I would be a full-time councilman. I wouldn't hold any type of outside job. I've done that over all these years. I'm proud of the commitments I've made. And that's all I can do at the end of the day. You know, you've heard that line, you know, your record speaks for itself. Well, in my case, it does. And what you see with me is what you get. Just what you have seen with me over the years, or your family and the folks in the neighborhood. You know, I don't mix words. I don't have different messages for different sections of my community. I tell it like I see it. And that has worked well for me. And folks appreciate that. Because mm-hmm. in the world of politics today, it's I'll be the first to tell you, it has changed so dramatically. And it's changed for the worse. There was a time when you gave someone your hand, your word, it meant something. When you stood on principles, it meant something. Now, too many charlatans, too many wheeler dealers, too many people trying to cut deals. And it has done a great disservice for our city, in my opinion. And I believe it's hurt the East Side tremendously. And I'm not about to back down or hide. They can call... George Forbes had the best line for me many, many years ago. My dear friend, who's 90 years old, George Forbes, I hope he's listening. He said to me, Michael, don't, who cares what they say about you? Just make sure they spell your name right. Okay. So I always remember when they start coming after you, I always remember George said, make sure they spell your name right. And they did spell my name right. Okay.
and you know, Councilman, for people who don't understand the dynamics of Collinwood, and like I said, I was born and raised there, been there for most of my life. What's very interesting, what a lot of people don't know is, particularly on the north side of Collinwood, when I was a kid, the north side of Collinwood was predominantly white. Now it's predominantly black. And the voters voters keep reelecting you. Like you said, you got over 70% of the vote in this most recent primary. That's a lot of black people.
Yeah. Well, my ward is over 80% black. Ward 8 on the northeast side of the city, which is East Glenville, North Shore Collinwood, and Collinwood Village, is over 80% black. And I have carried the what I call the predominantly black precincts, which are the majority of the precincts. There's only two precincts that I think that are not overwhelmingly African American.
Right.
I carried those precincts more than the precincts that weren't. So I must be doing something right to have that kind of support, because I was born in Glenville, raised in Collinwood. I've never lived in a neighborhood where there weren't black folks. Every school I went to, you know, every organization I've been a part of, my own street that I live on today off of Nottingham Road on Bryant is predominantly African American. And so I have great neighbors. I look out for them and they look out for me. But so that's how I've built my political campaign and my career over the years. So I don't play games. I call it like I see it. And what I've learned with the black community, that's what they want. They're tired of being lied to. They've been used. You know, Fannie used to say it all the time. She said, black folks have been used more than anybody by who? By black folks. She used to say that all the time. I'd laugh when I used to hear her say it. But you know what? Because people try to play games. And I don't play games. I call it like I see it. I try to represent my folks to the best of my ability. And anybody who calls my phone or emails me or asks me to come out to their home, as they do, I'm there because that's my job. I'm a public official. I'm also a public servant. And I've never forgot that. I know. Lou Stokes said to me a long time ago, Michael, I was sitting with him up with John Lanier, the late John Lanier at the Colm Post office up on 105th in Chester. Every time Lou would come into town, I'd go see him. because my family, my mother was a big Stokes supporter, Carl Stokes. She had me pass out literature for Carl when I was a kid. And the Stokes family never forgot that. So when I became a public official, I always had Lou Stokes support. He would be the first call I would make when I ran for re-election, and he'd always say, "Why are you calling me?" I said, "I'm calling you out of respect, Lou." He said, "You never have to call me because we've always known where you have stood with us. You've always been with my family, and I'm going to always be with you." But he said to me, and I remember it the way he said it to me, and I'm going to remember it to the day I walk out of City Hall. "Don't forget who elected you, and don't forget where you came from." That's my motto. That's what I live by. I don't forget who put me in office. And so I'm appreciative to the Black community who elected me and have supported me all these years. And I don't forget it. And when I vote down here on issues and when I fight for things, that's always within my mindset of what I can do to help people. You know, are we successful all the time, or have I been successful all the time? No, because I have to deal with other colleagues and I have to deal with the city. And I don't have to tell you what it's like dealing with the city, okay? That is an experience in itself, quite frankly. So I'm hoping whoever occupies the mayor's seat, and I have no crystal ball, that person is going to reset the table and redefine our priorities here, because Cleveland's a great city, but for some reason we haven't been able to get it together. And we got to get it together here. You know, my office here, as I'm speaking to you, I overlook the lakefront, and here we got, you know, just north of Cleveland Brown Stadium, what do we have? A big parking lot on the lake. You know, that would never happen in another lakefront city. I mean, we got all these assets, and we got to figure out how to get things together here so our people can benefit from jobs and opportunity. And that's one of the reasons I just fought so hard to keep Tallinwood High School open and try to turn it into a vocational and technical high school once again. That's why I'm on the board of Ginn Academy with my dear friend Ted Ginn Sr., who endorsed my re-election efforts overwhelmingly because of the support I've given him over the years. So again, I mean, I appreciate the support I've had out of the community. And I just appreciate you calling me to interview me, because you didn't have to do that. I mean, you got a lot of people you could interview. There's a lot of people you could talk to, and it's far more important than me about what's going on in the city, you know, to pick people's brains here. But I'm old school. I'm trying to do my very best, and we're dealing in difficult times. And I just look at the calls that I receive. You know, we're dealing with, a frightening number citywide of overdoses, right? Fentanyl deaths,
yeah.
The violence that we're seeing in sections of the city, lack of opportunity, poverty, despair, that crazy rainstorm that came through the city about 2 weeks ago, looked like something out of the monsoons.
Yeah.
You know, then just the number of people, elderly, who call me whose roofs were leaking, who needed help. You know, as I go door to door, every day I can walk, I go out and walk, and you walk, look at some of these folks' homes, the condition that people are living in. They can't fix their houses. They're elderly. They're poor, working poor families, single moms trying to raise kids. We got to do a better job of figuring out how we're going to help people in this city. And we're hoping with some of these federal dollars we're getting in here, and we've been talking to the mayor and his administration, what can we do to target more funds to help people with fixing their homes? How can we target these abandoned and derelict structures, condemned homes that are just sitting all over our city that are just like a cancer? So we got a work cut out for us. So I can tell you right now, God willing, with the support of the residents, after November 2nd, I'll be here. I'm hoping to be able to, again, I don't have a crystal ball who's going to occupy the mayor's seat. It's all going to be based on turnout. Work with whoever to try to redefine what our priorities are. That's all I can tell you, and that's my prayer and my commitment.
All right, Councilman. I know, like I said, I've had ties for years in Collinwood. Collinwood is a great neighborhood, and you have served that neighborhood honorably. So I'm glad. Thank you for coming on the show and talking about this. We really appreciate it.
And you know what? And God bless you, your family, and all your listeners. And I say that because in the business I'm in, We're not supposed to mention religion for some reason, but I'm not politically correct. I pray for our community. I pray for our city. So again, God bless you and all your listeners. And have a great day.
God bless you as well, Councilman. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you one more time to Councilman Palencia for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. We are out of here. We'll see you next time. Peace.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.